6 years, brother.
Yeah, you know.
But they've been gone for a while.
You know, I've had two different of my friends. You know, they don't like Hispanic people in Utah. I've had two different of my friends that have said they've got to stop because they're Mexicans and pulled over for that reason and asked to leave the state.
I've been arrested three times.
In Utah?
In California.
Oh.
When I was younger, I was arrested three times and wanted to know where my green card was. And I said, now, I tell you something, people. Can't you understand that where I am from, the way I talk? I said, you shouldn't have to ask for a green card. You want me to leave my hat on or take it off? It's Cowboy Day? All right. That's what I figured. This is Cowboy Day. I have my ribbon shirt on and my dad's belt buckle that he won during World War II for the world champion Brahma bull rider. That was Dale Remling. That's the belt buckle he won. And it had a gold bull in it at that time. And the bull got, I was with him, my horse got the bucking with him and knocked the bull out there at Goodmanville out there where they had a rodeo rima, and he lost it out of there. And so he gave this to his nephew, Billy Buford. That's Phyllis Owens, Buck Owens, his wife's brother. Okay? And I traded him another belt buckle for it. And then I put a silver dollar in it. And there's a lot of stories about the silver dollars that have been in this thing. Because there have been several silver dollars in it. Anyway, but it's the right size for a silver dollar. If you go back to the Oklahoma Cowboy Hall of Fame, you'll see that the belt buckles that they did back then were, these were the award belt buckles with gold bulls in them. And, of course, it doesn't have the gold bull. It's out there still someplace, probably in Goodmanville out there, where the old rodeo rima was. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew, chapter 24. Yes, Brother Bill.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Jim, you study in Hebrews.
Yeah.
Now, Paul didn't write this. They're thinking that Apollos did.
Probably Apollos wrote it, yeah.
Okay. I'm having trouble. I read him several times here. Who is Apollos?
Apollos was a disciple in Acts, the book of Acts. You'll see Apollos. He was a great speaker. He was a Greek. He was what you call a Hellenistic Jew. He studied the Greek Bible, the Greek Septuagint. He did not familiar with Hebrew at all. He probably knew a few Hebrew words, but he didn't know very many, because if he wrote the book of Hebrews, he only used Greek. He didn't use the Hebrew Bible at all, period. All right? Let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Last week I cut this off, and I was all fired up to teach it last week, and Brother Ken here, and it was going to be From Behind the Curtain. That was the title of the message, and of course we got the message From Behind the Mormon Curtain instead, which was tremendous. I was so delighted that he got up here. I've been introducing a little bit of that stuff, just throwing it out, but boy, you got a full dose of it last week, and it was good. If you want to go there to the website and look at it, it is From Behind the Mormon Curtain. He gave a tremendous message on the history of Mormonism and what it's doing and what their plan for America is today. All right. So, anyway, if you want to go look at that. And now, a look from behind the curtain. This is a different curtain. Okay? Now, let's go in Matthew, the 24th chapter. This is scary. I read this a little bit the other day, and Bill said I couldn't just quit and go on from there. I had to read it again. So, see, I'm being obedient, Bill. Now, I want you to be obedient to Joanne. Now, Joanne, do you hear this? Be real obedient, see. All right. I'm not going to shortcut you. All right. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew, 24th chapter is talking about the end times. Eschatology. Bad stuff. Scary stuff. We're in it. We're there. We're right at the door. Right at the window. Looking in right now. Okay? Now, we know that the rapture of the church and all the saints is going to take place just before the tribulation period. Are you paying attention here now? Just before the tribulation period. The end of the church age. We live in the church age today. We're at the very end of the church age. I don't know how close to the end, but we are, with the political situation, with the world situation, people, we're there. I mean, it can go on a little while longer, but if it does, it's going to surprise me. I said this 40 years ago. If you go listen to me preach 40 years ago when I was teaching the book of Revelation, you can. If you go back and to discover the word, drjim.com, and go over there to audio messages. Go back there where it says old sermons. I did 20-something classes on the book of Revelation. You can go listen to them. But I'm going to tell you something. Things have been fulfilled since then. I was talking about things that could happen, that have happened now. It's like fulfilled prophecy. Matthew 24:15, "And therefore when you see the abomination of the desolation which was spoken through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let the reader understand." Okay? Now, who's going to be here at that time? When does this happen? That's 3.5 years after the rapture. Okay? 3.5 years after the rapture is when this is going to take place. This is right in the middle of the tribulation period, people. And the world has been swayed off its feet by this leader. Last week we looked at the comparison between the Muslim religion and the Mormon church. They're just alike. You don't defunct from either one of them. Did you know that? You die. I mean, there are a few in common. There are a few Mormon converts today, but not very many. There aren't very many because they're so messed up on God. Their idea of God and the spirit world is so different than the Bible, it's just unbelievable, the difference. All right? But right here, in the middle, oh, both of them want to conquer the world. Did you know that? The idea of Mormonism and the idea of the Muslim world is to take the whole world. To take the world. That's it. And they're going to do it, both of them are going to do it by way of politics. All right? Politics. Here we have the rapture. We're at the door now. Someplace at the door. This is talking about 3.5 years after the rapture now. "Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." All right? Judea, flee to the mountains. Now, where it's talking about down here is probably Petra. Down there at the city of Petra, down in a, it is a natural fortress. Okay? "Let him who is on the housetop not go down and take things out." Don't take anything out of your house. If you're in Jerusalem, when this takes place, and this is where it's going to happen, and by the way, the whole world is going to see the Antichrist when he pulls this abomination of desolation. Why? Because now we have worldwide television and we have worldwide iPhones. You can see it all over the world, and the whole world is going to see it. Okay? Don't go down and get anything out of the house. It's too late. Don't worry about anything material at all, because it's life and death. Flirting with death, playing with danger, a life and death decisions. Okay? This is a life and death decision. If you're going to get out of here alive, you're going to have to leave everything you've got and run. Leave it all. Escape with your life by the skin of your teeth, so to speak. "Let him who is on the housetop do not go down and get things that are in his house. Let him who is in the field do not turn back to get his coat or his clothes." Don't worry about it. 2 out of every 3 Jews in the world are going to die. 5 out of every 6 Gentiles is going to die. There's going to be a lot of dead people on the earth. Okay? A lot of dead people. "But woe to those who are with child in those days, and nurse babes in those days." And by the way, this is 3.5 years after the rapture. So the children are going to be born. They're going to die. "Pray that your flight may not be in winter in the Sabbath, and then there will be great tribulation such." Now, we have the great tribulation and then the super great tribulation. This was tribulation here. This is going to be a terrible tribulation for people that are saved after the rapture. People are going to be saved. If you're not saved today, tomorrow you may be in the tribulation period. Then you get to die. You don't get to get raptured. Then you get to die. Today may be a life and death decision. Okay? Right in the middle of the tribulation. This is a tribulation period, and this is tribulation the great in the last part of it. This is when a lot of stuff is going to take place. Terrible things are going to take place. tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor even shall be. If you study church history, you'll find out in one place in Europe, for 250 miles, there was a Baptist head, a Baptist head on a stake, on a road, every few feet for 250 miles. Carnage. A Baptist head on a stake, every few feet for 250 miles. That's what's going to happen to you if you become a Christian, they say, outside of the Catholic Church. And unless those days shall be cut short, no life will have been saved for the sake of the elect. Those days will be cut short. Who is the elect? Who's the elect? Israel, the Jew. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. Don't worry about it. The Antichrist says that he's Christ. There are many people that study see Christ. Joseph Smith said he was a descendant of Christ in the 1800s. We have people that said, Moon, all of these people say they're Messiah. How many Messiahs have come and gone since Jesus was on this earth? For false Christs and prophets shall arise and will show great signs and wonders as to mislead even the elect. These people are going to do miraculous power. They're going to have miraculous powers. Miraculous powers. Let me just throw a little something out at you. The world is looking for a religion with feeling. A God they can see and a religion they can feel. Okay? That's what the world wants it. Did you know that in every false religion, they have a charismatic movement, and they do miracles in every one of them? Did you know that? They speak in languages. In the Muslim world, in the Mormon world, in the Buddhist world, all of these different religions, they have this, and even Catholics, all of them. Behold, I have told you in advance. Therefore, when they say to you, behold, here he is in the wilderness, do not go for it. Behold, he's in the inner rooms. Do not believe him or believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The world is going to know when Jesus comes this time. When the world, here at the rapture, this is what we call the parousia, coming of Christ, when he came for his saved in the church. There's that. People are going to realize that. Do you think it says, so as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man? Think about that for a while. As in the days of Noah. What happened in the days of Noah? First of all, for 300 years, Enoch preached and told them that the flood was coming. For 300 years. Enoch got raptured. He was taken away. And then Noah preached for how long? How long did Noah preach and tell him that the... Huh? How much? No. How long did Noah preach? 120 years. Noah preached for 120 more years. That's 420 years that they had warning. The church has been sounding forth this warning for 2,000 years. Okay? And it said they were eating, drinking, and being merry, and going on, just carrying on, just like the world was never going to come to an end. Okay? People do that today. They just carry on, they eat, they drink, they get jobs, they worry about everything in the world today. You need to worry about getting a roof over your head, you really need to worry about getting clothes on your back and food on your table. Those are necessary things. Okay? But you ought to live as if this is the last day before the rapture. The last day before the rapture, because it could be. It could be the last day. Now, there's two groups in this room here today. There are saved people and lost people. Okay? What group are you in? Saved people. All right? What are you doing? What are you looking for? The coming of the Lord. Lost people. You know what you're looking for? You're looking for the tribulation period. Because it's coming. The tribulation period is coming. Going a little bit further now. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Yeah? That's what happens, isn't it? The other day when Charlie died out on the ranch, Charlie went down. And he was out there and we were trying to save his life. And we got things turned around from my lawn. And we had a shade over him out there and everything. I had IVs going into him. He had a sunstroke because we had 115 days out there for day after day after day after day after day. He finally went down. And I called the veterinary out and I said, see if we can do something to save his life. I said, I know he's dying. Is he? Yeah, he's trying to die right now. So we went out there and I saw that poor little animal go through terrible things. I've had low blood sugar all morning. When I got up, I had low blood sugar. And I shook. I was shaking when I was drinking that a while ago. And it's terrible to go through low blood sugar. And his fluids and his chemistry was so off that they started putting the things that he needed in his system. He was sitting there just shaking all over. The poor little thing was just shaking. And I was sitting there petting him and talking to him and everything because I know exactly how he felt. Those little animals feel like we do. They got all the feelings you have. They love, they hate, they fear, they have sicknesses. I sat there with him until he died. And he turned around. Things got better, but he threw up and strangled to death. But we had him turned around. His fever was down. He had 108 temperature from the sunstroke. It's supposed to be 101. We had him back down to normal. Had his fluids back up and everything else. Got him turned around. Revelation, the fifth chapter. Revelation, China, chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Let's go to Revelation 5 first. If I can find it. I know I got it in my Bible. This is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful chapter for children of God to read every week. Because this is what we're looking forward to. Lost people, this isn't for you. It ain't going to do you one bit of good. Not a bit of good. Now, this is talking about the book of the seven seals. Seven seals. What it was is a scroll. How many of you ever had a piece of paper rolled up? This scroll here has got a wax seal in seven different places. You can unroll it so far, and it's got another seal. And then you unroll it, and it's got another seal, and you unroll it. This is not a codex book. This is a scroll. Okay? And I saw on the right hand of him who sat upon the throne a book written inside and on the back and sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals. And no one in heaven or upon the earth or down under the earth was able to open the book or look into it. Not above the earth or on the earth or out in space anywhere. Okay? And I kept on weeping greatly. This is John. This is John. He's crying because you know what this book is? Who knows what this book is?
Is this the Lamb's Book of Life?
Nope. What is this book? This is a book. The Lamb's Book of Life is very important. Are your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's something you need to ask yourself right now. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because if you aren't, you are living on dangerous ground, people. You're on dangerous ground. I asked Steve there to do a very dangerous thing yesterday. How many of you know what a hornet is? They're bad. I was stung this last one. In 1 week, I was stung three times by two hornets and one wasp. And the wasp left his stinger. It was a guard wasp. Their guards are bad. They're like the devil himself, you know. He got on my arm and just stuck stingers in me. And I had finally, after a week, my arm was all swollen up still. I had to go back and the doctor had to cut them out because I wasn't getting any better. My joints are shot. My whole system is full of toxin from this. I was stung three times in 1 week. My joints hurting all over the place. Bees, you know, if you get stung by a bee, if you live through it, you know, sometimes that's very toxic too. But it can make your arthritis better. Hornets and wasps tear you up. They ruin your joints. I hurt all over. Well, we had a big hornet's nest out there underneath an old rabbit cage about this size yesterday, and I had killed, in the last 3 weeks, I've probably killed from 3,000 to 5,000 hornets and wasps. That's how many are out there. You couldn't walk out the back door. I was attacked every time I walked out the door. Anyway, they had one underneath there. I couldn't get down. So I asked Steve. I said, Steve, you will go out there and spray this deal. Well, he says, can I get hurt? I said, yeah. Can I get stung more than one time? I said, yeah, there's about 100 of them in there. But I said, you've got to be smart. You've got to be smart about this. Go out there, first of all, and get your goggles on, put mask on your face, long sleeve shirt on, gloves on, and take this spray. And I said, spray it and don't stop. You just keep spraying. I don't care what's going on, just keep spraying. Well, he did, and he didn't get stung. But he flirted with death and danger, didn't he? How many of you ever been in a bull ring with a Brahma bull? A mean one. All right. I've rolled him, I fought him, I slapped him in the face. I flirted with danger, you know, when I didn't have good sense. You know, I liable to do anything. My stepdad, Dale Remling, you know, that's a real famous outlaw. You know, he was pretty famous. You could look him up. One time I was out there on Castle Loma, and we were building a horse stable out there and everything else. We built them. Well, anyway, he had this Brahma cow with a calf. And she got out there in the alfalfa field. And he went out there and he roped that Brahma cow. She had some real nice sharp horns on her and everything else. She was meaner than sin, boy. And I went out there and he said, come out here, Jimmy. This field was flooded with about a foot of water. Flood irrigation. Well, I went out there tromping around the crawl street. He said, come here and lead this cow back to the pen. Put her in the pen. He's on a horse. He ropes this cow. And then he throws the rope down to me. Lead her back over there. Yes, he'd do things. You know, he'd get a bronc, and he said, this bronc's rough, son. And he said, if I get thrown off, I'll hurt. And he said, you won't hardly ever get thrown out of a saddle. I've never seen you thrown out of a saddle. And if it all falls on you, you're tough. You break me up. So you ride this one. Well, this cow, he threw the rope down to me. He said, don't you turn loose of that rope. And I knew what was going to happen if I turned loose of that rope. He's going to beat me with that rope. And I mean beat me with that rope. I'd had stripes on me for 2 months. So I held on to that rope, and that cow charged me every 20 feet. And I dodged her. She had sharp horns, people. I was flirting with death right out there, and he didn't care. He didn't really care about me, my safety, because he knew I was tough. You know, he said, you're tough. And she hit the end of that rope, and that rope was sails burned through my hands. My hands were burned up by the time I got her over there. And I got her over there in the pen, and I was so mad at her the time I got out there. I got a burlap bag, and I got out there, and I started fighting her with the sack. And I'd slap her in the face every time she charged me. Wham! As hard as I could hit her. I was mad. Well, Dale, in the 1940s, he was a Brahma bull rider. He was one of the best in the world. Matter of fact, he was the best in the world. In the Cow Palace, he was up there. How many of you ever heard of Joaquin Sanchez? He was a real famous rodeo clown. He was the one that used to bring the little donkeys out in the suitcase and turn them loose out there in the ring, and he could do somersaults over bulls and everything else. How about Slim Pickens, the movie star, Slim Pickens? Slim Pickens was a rodeo clown. And he was one of the greatest horse riders I ever saw. I met both of these guys. I wanted to be a rodeo clown just like Slim Pickens and Joaquin Sanchez. And I trained under him a little bit. Well, anyway, Dale was riding this bull, and he won the world championship. But when he got off the bull gored him and run a horn all the way through his body and carried him all over that arena with his guts stretched out and that bull's horn all the way through him and that bull shaking him all over. Joaquin Sanchez and Slim Pickens took that bull off of him. This is a belt buckle that he wore, that he won. It had an award, and it's got a silver dollar in it now because the award got knocked out. I told you about it a little earlier. But he won this belt buckle for the greatest Brahma bull rider in the world. But even though he won, he almost lost his life. He almost lost his life. Living is dangerous, no matter what you do. Living is dangerous. Right here we have a book that has the title deed of the whole universe. It is the title deed to the whole universe. What did it cost Jesus to buy it back? No one was found worthy. When I go through the shakes with low blood sugar and brother, you know what I'm talking about, brother. You've been through it a lot of times too. It's horrible. It's like death, man. It's terrible. When I saw that llama out there shaking the other day and sweating and going on, I felt exactly what he was feeling. No one in heaven or upon the earth or down under the earth was able to open the book and look into it. And I kept on weeping greatly, for no one was found to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion, that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse, and who has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." Who's that?
Jesus.
That's our Jesus. That's our brother. That's the one that came down. That's the one that became our kinsman, redeemer, our Goel. Goel. That's the Hebrew word. He's our relative. He's our relative. And I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and the elders, the Lamb standing as if having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. What does seven mean in the Bible? Perfection or completion. Yeah. Complexion. And that's the word for Sabbath also. Shiva. Seven. The number of completion. Complete. He is omniscient, isn't he? A lot of people say that Jesus doesn't know everything today, only God the Father. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus knows everything. When he rose from the grave, he was glorified. He was glorified. He came down and condescended and lived like we live in human body and suffered like we suffer. And he was cold and he was hungry and he was betrayed and he was beaten and he tasted death. And he came and took it out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. He's going to give us a new song to sing too. You know the Indians. They would sing a death song. When a man knew he was going to die, and when he was going out there, first of all, the Lakota says, "The center of the universe is right here. Because that's where I am. From here is where the universe takes off and goes on." And if they were going out and fight a battle, and by the way, they didn't fight battles just to be fighting battles. They fought battles to protect their families. And when they went out there and put their life on the line, they would say when they left out, "This is a good day to die. This is a good day to die. If this is God's will, this is a good day to die, because I will die protecting my family." Jesus Christ died to redeem us. To buy back the whole universe. To buy it back. Satan is a powerful being, isn't he? Look at all the confusion, religious confusion, and the political confusion that he has caused in the world. Throughout all the world, the whole world. And even in the spirit world, and in the angelic world, look at it. You ever get worried that the Lord can't take this over one of these days? How terribly strong Satan is. If you just walk out the door, you don't even have to walk out the door. Just he's here. How powerful is Satan? If you're here and you're lost today, he's in your clutches. He's got you in his talons right now. And he says, "Don't do it today. Don't accept Jesus Christ today. You got another day." That's living dangerously. That's like Dale did when he got up there in the Cow Palace when he's riding that bull. He almost didn't make it. It wasn't for Joaquin Sanchez and Slim Pickens. He'd have been a dead man. They saved his life. But as far as I know, the man is in hell today. I preached to him. I preached his funerals, both of them. But he never accepted Christ. He was an agnostic and an atheist. He said that if he was going to be a Christian at all, he'd be a Catholic because he could buy his way to heaven. That's rational, isn't it? Yeah. He could have been a Mormon. That way he could have been God and said, move over. Where they are to take the book and break its seals. For thou hast slain and did purchase of God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. There is no ethnic separation or segregation with God. Some of these old Southern Baptists, and some of you might listen to some of those old sermons on my website there with some of those old Southern Baptists in there, and I believe in segregation. I believe them darker people have got souls. But it'll belong with us. Thou hast made them to be a kingdom, a priest of our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And I looked and held the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and elders, and a number of them were myriads of myriads. That means thousands of thousands. Thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and mighty and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing. I don't know about animals. I know animals have souls because the Bible says they do. They have nephesh. They are individuals alive. There are certain animals I've seen, like Peanut out there on the farm, and even Old Star out there, and my duck that I had, little old ducky. Things that are so smart that you and certain dogs that you have in your life that are beyond what we call animal life. They're smart. They think. They feel. They love. This is one place in the Bible that opens another door. Right here. And every created being, every animal, which is in heaven and upon the earth, down on the earth, and even in the water. I had a couple of pet fish in my life. Dakota, what was your pet fishy? You had Goldie Fishy and what? Tiny Goldie and Fishy. She had three fish. Even the fish you're going to say in praises to the Lord one of these days, they're all under the curse right now. They're all under the curse. All things in them, and I heard them saying, to Him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living beings kept saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Who are these living beings? Who are the elders? Probably all the saved people. All the time. The elders. Now let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at this for a minute. Look behind the curtain. Romans, the 8th chapter. I have it all written up here, see? Romans, the 8th chapter. I'll go all the way back to verse 12. That's where this subject actually begins. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. How many of you have flesh here in this room? Anybody don't have a body? We do have passions. We have, you know, God makes people like each other, girls and boys, you know. That happened to you, didn't it, Anna? How about Fernando? That happened to you? Donnie? Chris, did that happen to you? Yeah. How about Rex? Linda? Did that happen to you ever? Did you kind of like somebody sometime or not? Emma? Dr. John? Dakota? Brother Bill? He fell for an old girl about how many years ago? 40-something years ago.
Almost 43 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm still sitting
open. You're still in trouble. You better watch what you say, Bill. At any moment.
I'm still following.
Yeah, that's right. That's normal that God puts that in your life. He puts that in your life. Brother David found him a pretty one, didn't he, Brother David? We think about this a lot. Well, but to be an outlaw with passion,
outside of the boundaries of God with passion, that's wrong.
I always tell young people, boys and girls, when you're going with somebody, sex is after marriage, because if you start having sex, you're married. Right now. That's it. That's the act of marriage. Not only that, guys, when you start doing that, you own her. And she owns you. And you start taking care of her. And she starts taking care of you. That's just the way it is. That's God now. That's God speaking. That's God speaking. You be careful what you do, young people. When we live according to the flesh, you must die. When you live according to the flesh, you must die, huh? You in trouble, Brother Brett?
Yeah, always. Always in trouble.
You must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds and the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Look at that. Now that one you can say amen to. Are you a child of God here today? You're a son of God. You're an heir of God. You get to see Jesus open that book that is the title deed to the heavens and the earth. And you don't have to fool around with the old devil anymore. The old devil won't fool with you. He'll be put away in file 13, flushed down the toilet of file 13 forever into the septic system of the universe, which is called the bottomless pit, where they all roam together. How many of you want to be in file 13? Anybody here want to be in file 13? If you don't have good sense, if you've got good sense, you don't want to be in file 13. Okay. Brother Brett, are you glad you're not in file 13?
I am.
You have eternal life, don't you?
I do.
Now. All right. Not for a while, for eternal.
No, I meant like feed that. I've been saved.
Yeah, you've been saved for a while. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear. If you are not a child of God today, you are a slave to sin. Your language, your heart, your mind is a slave to sin. If you're not a child of God. Now, if you're a child of God, you can enslave yourself to sin too, can't you? Sure you can. You can go the wrong way. You can go the wrong way. And what happens when you go the wrong way? Your south end gets warmed up. You know what the south end is? That's the bottom. It gets warmed up. God will warm it up. And then you can thank God for warming it up. Because that way you know that you're a child of God. If you think you're saved and you can go out and do anything you want to and there's no repercussions, you better sit down and start doing a lot of crying. Because you're not His. And when you're not His, you're the devil's. How many of you want to be the devil's child? Anybody here want to be the devil's child? If you're not saved, you're the devil's child. You are in either one or two camps. You've got one or two places. We have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear, again, but have received the spirit of adoption, weothesia, the placing as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. What is the Greek word for father, Brother Roger? Abba. Abba. All right. What does that mean? Father of the house. Is Jesus the father of your house? Is He the father of your house? Is He? Either He is or He is not. Are you living on dangerous ground? Are you living on dangerous ground? Well, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, also heirs of God, fellow heirs. That book that we talked about in Revelation, the 5th chapter, that's going to be yours. If you're a child of God, you're going to be a co-heir with Christ. You're going to be there with Him. If you're not, you're going to be in file 13, in the cesspool. How many of you ever cleaned out a cesspool? You people, you young people, you have nothing. You should have lived when I lived. We get out there and pump out the cesspool and then dig it out. And before the cesspools, there were outhouses. How many of you want to be in the eternal outhouse?
They get filled up with dirt.
Well, they get filled up with all kinds. You know, people go out and dig up old outhouses today because they threw everything down the outhouse. That's where the trash went. Sometimes they lost money, watches, everything went down the outhouse. They go digging around in there. Ah. As children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, even indeed if we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Verse number 18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is revealed to us. That's from behind the curtain. A revealed, it means apocalypse, isn't it? The book of Revelation is the apocalypse. It shows us what's going to happen. I want to tell you something. There was an old black man down, he was a caretaker at a auditorium for school, and the auditorium was right next to a seminary. You know what a seminary is? That's where young preachers learn how to preach. When they get for the first 3 years, you can't shut them up. They know everything. You can't shut them up. They know everything. Well, these preachers were over there bouncing the basketball around and everything else, and the old guy was sitting there reading his Bible, and he was reading the book of Revelation. And these preachers came over there, smart boy, you know, really intelligent, you know. They had read the book of Revelation. And they asked this old boy, you know, and he looked so ignorant to them that they thought he could just barely read the Bible. And what are you reading? The book of Revelation. And they laughed and they said, you know what that means? He said, yeah, I know what it means. He said, well, tell us what it means. He said, Jesus wins. That's what it means. The fifth chapter we read of the book of Revelation means that Jesus wins. Why did Jesus win? Because He gave it His all. All right. Verse number 16. For the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are present tense children of God. We're children of God. What are you going to give up if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? What are you going to give up? Anything?
Everything.
Yeah. Utter commitment to Christ. It's what's going to cost you. That's when you put your whole life and your whole future in His hands. You give up everything in this world. You give up everything in this world for everything in this whole universe for all eternity. It's like an investment. A solid investment. And if children, heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. In verse number 18, I consider it that the sufferings in the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation itself. That's them animals over there in the fifth chapter. These are the animals. The animals in the creation are wanting you to be saved. Did you know that? The animals in the creation are longing. The whole creation itself is longing for you to be saved and give up and for everything to come back under the fifth chapter where He opens up and we have the title deed and the animal life suffers today. Do you know that? What was the curse on the snake? Because he was, you know, he was probably the king of all the beasts, you know, the snake. The Nahash. What was the curse? He's going to walk on his face, on his belly, and eat in the dirt. And we find out that he's even cursed during the millennial reign, because he's still walking on his belly. But all the other animals are not going to be killing each other. They're going to be getting along just fine. The anxious longing for the creation. All life waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. They want this world to be brought back into order. God created the universe. It says, Barashith, in one of the beginnings, Elohim. Barashith, Bara, in one of the beginnings or in beginnings, created and brought to a finish, Elohim, the heavens. That word there means universe. And then He placed the earth there in it, Weharis. And then the earth, she became formless and void. And we see God going out and mourning over and suffering over the faces of the deep.
That is the whole story of Spirit God suffering over all of the corrupted universe, including man's life. Is Jesus Spirit in your life today? Is Jesus Christ, is the Spirit of God convicting you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come today? He's suffering over you just like He suffered over the faces of the deep back then. The faces of the deep. The creation was subjected to futility, emptiness, irrational life, not of its own will. When God created animals, what did He create them for?
Companions
for man. And the animals were what? Subjected to this. How many animals got to die as sacrifices? From the garden all the way to here. There's no need for that anymore, is it? You know, when I got saved, I had a dog named Yukon. I just loved that dog. And he was the most precious thing to me in the world. When I got saved, before I got saved, that is, I was thinking, I said, what's my most precious thing? I love this chicken over here, I love this chicken over there. And I was reading the Old Testament that said I had to offer sacrifice for my sins. And I thought about sacrificing my dog. Sacrifice much. You know, that's what it said back there. And boy, when I found out that Jesus paid the cost, I was really happy. I didn't have to kill my dog. That old dog lived to be 30-something years old. I love that dog. Old Yukon. I named him after Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. His old Yukon. The creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption, into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers. Every created thing in this world groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Not only this, but also we ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. One of these days, this is a look behind the curtain. This is a look behind the door. Did you like that look? Did you like what's behind there? But we are in the present tense, aren't we? We're in the present tense. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. And why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. Well, you got to look behind the curtain today. You got to see what's over there. As a child of God, that means a lot to you. As a lost man, what's waiting for you? The outhouse. The cesspool of humanity. And it can happen anytime. If you're lost, you're living on dangerous ground. You're walking in the bull with 1,000, we're walking in the ring with 1,000 Brahma bulls with sharp horns, who've been pencil sharpened. And you're dodging. How many ways can you dodge death? When you walk out the door, how many times do a space crash fall on the earth? I was up there in Nevada one time when space junk come flying down through. Space junk ever killed somebody? Probably. Falling stars ever killed anybody? Little meteors coming down? Anybody ever fallen down? Have you ever fallen out of bed? Anybody ever fallen out of bed and got killed? Absolutely. One woman fell out of bed just before she was getting... I think this was... 2 or 3 days before she was going to get married, she fell out of bed and broke her neck. And she was a quadriplegic from then on. She could have died. Did anybody ever get any poison? Ever anything that's poisoned by accident? Get killed? How about walking out in front of a car? You know what happened to Joaquin Sanchez? That man, I saw him dodge bulls and do flips over bulls and everything else. He was up there in Tehachapi, California, and walked across the road, and a car hit him and killed him. And he dodged bulls all his life. You remember that, Brother Rex?
You remember that?
It's
been a long time ago. I saw that man dodge bulls. He was going to train me to be a bullfighter. And he got killed walking across the road. You can get killed going to work. You can get killed anywhere. We live dangerously every day. We live in a dangerous world. In a dangerous world. This is cowboy day today, see, huh? I'm an Indian, you know. You can't have cowboys without Indians. Dakota? There's an Indian right over there, Dakota. Cowboys and Indians. Cowboys and Indians did a lot of fighting, didn't they? That a lot of people dropped dead on both sides. But today, you don't have to walk out of here lost. And you don't have to walk out of here in rebellion to God, either one. I want to pray with you right now. I want us to bow our heads. And if you're lost right now, you can ask the Lord to save your soul and forgive you your sin. And if you're a child of God and you're not walking according to His will, you can ask the Lord to forgive you and to get your mind straight. Get your mind straight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You. Father, I pray if there's one lost here today that You will... that they will convict their sin, their lives of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And right at this moment, they will be born again. All we have to do is to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And save me from hell by what Jesus did for me. Because I believe in Him. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He is God the Son, the eternal God. And I know by His merits, I can be forgiven. And Father, each and every child of God here, please give them a brand new, fresh desire to serve You and to love You. Because today they got to see behind the curtain what's going to happen. You're going to put the old devil in his place one of these days. And we'll be free from all of that temptation. Free from all the sickness. Free from his side. Free from his influence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother David, what do you got? Are you going to come up here, Brett? Are you going to do anything today?
But it's not that much. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you for your attention. God bless you. Go out and do something eternal. Do something eternal right now. You'll make an eternal decision right now, one way or the other. These are eternal decisions.